For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things which with spiritual. But the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. Throughout history, there's been a battle between the wisdom of men against the wisdom of God. God ordained and spoke the worlds into place. God had, through his power, through his wisdom, had built the foundations of the earth and all things that we can see. God hath created it all. And in his wisdom, he put all life into place. And since the beginning of man, man has always fought against that wisdom and has strove to bring about their own wisdom. And we see that throughout history and throughout the Old Testament and even throughout the New, that there is this battle between God's wisdom and the wisdom of man. And if we look to verse number 5, which I feel would be key for this afternoon, we read here that it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is where we need to place our faith in, is in the power of God, in what God was able to do, and what God is able to do, and yet what God will do through his power that he has. And that's where our faith should be at all times, in all phases of our life, is that our faith should be in the power of God, not in man. If we look to man, we will be disappointed, but that our faith should be in the power of God. We see that throughout the scriptures here. If we look at the previous chapter, we see that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." This is This is what the preaching of the cross does for us. This is the power of the cross. It's the power of God. It brings about a salvation. To those of us that are saved, we have salvation through the power of God. And we believe that. It's meaningful to us. But to those who don't believe, it's foolishness. It doesn't mean much. Further in the chapter, it says, "But unto them which are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Those of us that are saved, this is who Jesus Christ is, and the power of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's who Jesus Christ is. God empowered Jesus, and that power was shown to all mankind. It was made evident to all peoples. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power of God, having salvation, having faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the power of God. It's shown there through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Further, at the end of the second epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul again writes, "For though he was crucified, being Jesus, through weakness, yet he liveth." He liveth by what? By the power of God. "For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by what? By the power of God toward you." It's all through the power of God. And that's who we have faith in. That's what we have faith in, is what in what God can do. Peter, in his epistle, also writes of this as well, where he says, those of us that are saved and believe in Jesus Christ, he says, "who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." In Corinthians, we read that we live by the power of God. Peter writes, we are kept by the power of God. Therefore, we live and are kept by the power of God. He works in us, and it is in that, his power, that we have faith in. We believe in Jesus. We know that what Jesus had done and what he did for us on the cross is the power of salvation, if we believe in that. If we wholeheartedly give our heart to believe that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his shedding of blood, is salvation, and therefore God's power then works in us. We live by it, and we are kept by it. We have an adversary of the soul that moment by moment he wants to tempt us, and sometimes that severely, but we are kept by the power of God. Let's keep that truth. Let's remember that truth, that we are kept by the power of God. We live in the power of God by what he can do. He can do far above our asking. Man's wisdom will disappoint, man's power will disappoint. Man will say that the resurrection is impossible. That's what the Sadducees came up with. They said the resurrection is impossible. That can't be. There is no such thing as the resurrection. That's man's wisdom. Jesus' response to them and their thought process on that was that ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. They were in error. They were the Sadducees. They were supposed to be the religious elect at that time. But they didn't know the power of God. They didn't know the scriptures. And Jesus says, you do err. You don't know that power of God. God can do all things. We read that verse this morning where with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God because he has that power. And so we have faith in him, and we believe in him because we believe that he spoke the worlds into place. We believe that. The Bible says so. We believe that. We know that to be true. The wisdom of men might say something different, but we believe that that God spoke the worlds into place because it's written in his word. And we see his power there. Then we see the power where he had done so many things throughout the Old Testament, we see that when Joshua had a battle and he needed a little bit more daylight, that God stopped the sun and allowed for more daylight time. God's power did that. God gives the ability to save, and God gives the ability to destroy. God has that ability, and he does that ability. He has that power, and he does these great things. So let's remember that our faith should stand in the power of God. That's where our faith should be. In the power of God. We live by it, and we are kept by the power of God. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. I'm not going to display man's wisdom. He had that opportunity in his previous life to do that, to display his knowledge of being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he had that, he had that mindset from before, that he had that excellency of speech. But now he determined not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified, bringing again that gospel of Christ, for which he was not ashamed, knowing that it was the power of God unto salvation. That gospel of Christ. Recently I heard an old elder speaking, and he said that the gospel of grace is the gospel of the cross. The gospel of grace is the gospel of the cross. Here we're reading over and over that it's through what Jesus Christ did on the cross that where we have salvation and faith in that. And then grace is dispensed. Grace is given to us. And so the Apostle Paul, as he came here to Corinth and he was speaking to them, he says, I am not going to speak of anything else. I'm not going to display wisdom. I'm not going to be eloquent with my words. I am going to speak of Jesus Christ and him crucified. My preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, those of us who have been redeemed, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross for our sins specifically, that we have been made perfect, meaning that we have been made complete in him. That now we have salvation. Now there is no longer condemnation, but we are perfected in Christ. And so he's speaking in to those who have been made perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. There's this wisdom that God had from before he spoke the worlds into space, into place. Before he said, let there be light, he had this plan. God had this plan that through his wisdom, he would give it to men who would believe in his Son, and that's to our glory. The Bible says that here. It's before the world, and this was done unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Again, he's speaking of this crucifixion that Jesus Christ had to endure that we might be saved. Then he goes on and he speaks of how what God reveals to those who are saved, those who are perfected, those who believe in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So what the Apostle Paul here is saying is that man knows the things about man. Man can't know anything more than that. Man knows the things of a man. But even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So God reveals to men through Jesus Christ that which he would have us to know and to understand. Jesus is speaking to his Father, and he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, those who think of themselves as wise in this world, and prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. There was a revelation of God's wisdom to those who would humble themselves and become as a little child, as we heard this morning. He has revealed them unto babes. God was revealing his will to those who would humble themselves and his wisdom. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. As we believe in Jesus Christ, as we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of all mankind, Jesus will reveal the Father then to us. His wisdom will be imparted unto us. We will be made perfected. We will become spiritual. We will have this wisdom, and we will be operated by the power of God. Thanks be to God for this gift of salvation that he has given unto us and his power that works in us. The Apostle Paul continues and he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God freely wants to give his gifts of love, his gifts of grace and blessings to us as we believe in him, as we place our lives in his care and come before him as babes, as little children, willing to do what he would have us to do. Knowing that we are crucified with Christ. As Christ was crucified, we are crucified with him. The Bible says that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Christ was crucified. We have faith to believe that his crucifixion meant that we are redeemed from our sins, but we are also crucified with him. But yet we rise anew. We rise anew even as Christ did, and we live by the power of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. When we yield ourselves to the Lord, as the Apostle Paul did, he came to Corinth, and he spoke to them the words of the Lord, and he was teaching in the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That which would be far superior to what man's wisdom would have. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, the Sadducees, they couldn't discern that there is a resurrection. They couldn't discern that. But those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we discern through the Spirit the power of the Spirit and the power of God. This natural man can't do it, but we have become perfected. We have become those who are spiritual and those who live by the Spirit and the power of God. And we can come to know and understand these things which God would reveal to us. The natural man receives not these things. We receive the Spirit of God, we read there in verse number 12. That's what we receive. As we are perfected, as we live for Jesus Christ, as we are born again and living for him, we receive that Spirit which is of God. But the natural man cannot receive it, and he will not receive it. Again, going back to this previous chapter, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." This is what we can receive, that power of God, and we know that that comes through Jesus Christ. Because he speaks in verse 23 of the previous chapter, "But we preach Christ crucified, which to the Jews is a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness." We're preaching Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he didn't bring any wisdom of men, any philosophies such as that, but he brought Jesus Christ and him crucified and brought forth that message. To the Jews, they didn't get it. That was a stumbling block. How could our Redeemer be crucified? They didn't understand that. It was a stumbling block to them, Jesus Christ being crucified. And unto the Greeks, it was just foolishness. They didn't get it. They thought they were far above something like that. That was their wisdom. It didn't match with their wisdom at all. It was foolishness to them. But to us who are saved, to us who have been perfected, for us who have been redeemed, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings life. It brings salvation through faith. And then the power of God, we live by it, and we are kept by it, and He works in us, and He reveals to us this mystery of the Holy Spirit working in man. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Man knows of man's things. That's all that man can know. But if we have faith in the wisdom of God, He imparts unto us that wisdom, and then we, and His Spirit operates in us, He gives us of His Spirit, and so we rise from that position, that plane, to a plane that is spiritual. And then we begin to understand what the wisdom of God is and His great love for us and for all mankind. And we understand the power of the cross because it gives us grace. And then we can say we know what the things that belong to God are about. And we can say we know the things that belong to man and what man's wisdom is. And we know that man's or God's wisdom and God's power is far superior than that which man would discern. And so he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. A man in a natural state who has not been born again, who has not been redeemed, he can't understand the things, nor judge or discern properly of them, of the things of the Spirit of God and those who are operating by the Spirit of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God for what he has done for us in giving unto us the wisdom of God, in giving unto us the power of God, knowing that we live by this power of God and that we are kept by this power of God. We are truly, truly blessed. The last verse of the previous chapter says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We glory in what God has done for us. He does far above our asking. When we come and we petition Him for something, God has something bigger in mind. And He typically gives us something bigger and more fulfilling and more rewarding than that which we asked of Him. And so we glory. We glory in the Lord. We don't glory in men. We glory in the Lord. And we speak of His goodness. The Bible says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. To put confidence in man leads to disappointment, but we glory in the Lord, and we trust in Him, and we lift up His name, and we glorify Him for everything that He has done. We glory in the Lord. God, it was God's glory that, as the Bible says here, that before the world began, He wanted to impart unto us His wisdom. That's the glory toward us. And we glory in that. And we give God glory in return for what He has done for us. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
The Apostle Paul brought the preaching of the gospel with his voice as he spoke to the churches, and with his pen as the Spirit led him. But not only through the spoken word and the written word, but it says here that his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The example of Apostle Paul, the life of Apostle Paul, which was not his own. He believed and he said that he was crucified with Christ and he no longer lives, but Christ lived in him. That is a mystery. But that is the teaching of the gospel, that we would lose our life and find it in the Lord. As we consider our faith and our example and following in the things that we know and believe and have been taught, that would be a demonstration of the Spirit and His power, a demonstration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He truly does live and lives in us, that He truly was crucified but raised again. This is only done through faith. My mind went to some examples that are given to us in the Scripture of individuals who lived by the power of God through faith, as recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Jacob, by faith, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon his staff. He leaned upon his staff because he had wrestled with the angel, and the angel had touched the hollow of his thigh. Do we know how simple and easy it would be for the Lord to show us our weakness? And then throughout life have a testimony of that weakness, but not trust in our own strength anymore. Is faith the demonstration of our good deeds? Or is it a demonstration that God has won us over and we see our weakness and our need for Him? Or Joseph. Many of the Sunday school kids are learning about Joseph, the example that he had as a young man who listened to God, who obeyed, who followed the Lord and wanted to do what was pleasing unto Him. How many things could be written in the book of Hebrews about his testimony of faith? But what does it say? It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's a mystery. We think about our faith and about a life and our example, and I'm going to believe A, and I'm going to do B, and I'm going to get C, and this is how it's all supposed to work. But that wasn't the highlight of faith for Joseph, as recorded in Hebrews. But Joseph believed God, that even after his death, that God would fulfill his plan, and that there would be a resurrection. Is that not faith for us? Oh, there's things that we can control while we're here below. There's things that we can guide and direct toward a certain expected end. But what will happen to your soul when you die? Is your hope and faith in God, who can bring you back to life and give you a resurrected body? Or is your hope and faith in things that you see here and now, in the wisdom of men, or in the power of God that was expounded to us this afternoon? May God bless His word. Amen.